is trying to cause the other to sin, that's where that exception comes in. Also, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it also says in covering just kind of that finalizing the subject we were on last week, is likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respect and pure conduct. And then it continues saying, do not adorn yourself and external. And we've covered this passage before. We've covered a lot of these, but just wanted to remind us with regards to that. And it says in verse 5 there, it says, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And we, like I said, we've covered that verse before. But I think it's just good to kind of put a capstone here with regards to the idea of what he's talking about here. Ultimately, the wife is to submit and to honor and to show respect and support her husband. There is that exception if he is asking her or causing her to stumble and to sin, then that's where that would be an exception there. If he, but I think the example on Sunday is if he was not leading very well, he's just not doing, he's not causing you to sin or stumble, then by your example, you can help him. And the theme of tonight, if I had a theme, is wives, we need your help, is kind of the theme. Is ultimately, when I go through some of these things that we go through, us husbands, at least I am, we need your help, wives, and we need your help desperately. We need your support. We need a lot of help. And so we're going to go on and go over that. So when I go over some of these things, I would like to kind of make sure that we understand that ultimately what we're saying is we need, us husbands, we need help. And when it comes to the husbands versus the wife needs help. And husbands, we need to help our wives, you know. And so that's really how we want to look at this relationship. This idea is that we need that. We may not say it all the time. We may not express it. We're going to get into. But the idea is we need help in doing that. And by you submitting, you're helping us lead. Maybe we're not doing a great job. But that's where we need your help. We need your help in enabling us to be able to do that, and guiding us just as two Christians striving together, one flesh, is to do. So I wanted to kind of finish off with that before we get into a bunch of other topics tonight, which we're going to get into. And so just want to kind of cover that as we finish Sunday morning, okay? Now, first, the unique role that she fills is the category. So this is in page 21. And we're going to kind of go through all of this. We won't necessarily read all of the passages again. Like I said, a lot of these we've read already several times. We've read all the passages, and you have your book there. You can turn to those. Mainly, we're just going to talk about some of these things and talk about some challenges that we have and things that we need to make sure we keep as a priority with regards to that. Just as a reminder, Genesis 2, Genesis 1, God created man. He saw that he was alone, created woman. Adam did not pick Eve. Eve did not pick Adam. They are in this role together. They are then to fulfill that role together for the rest of their lives. And that's what God put in place. No animal could fulfill that role. This is a very unique role. This is very special. A woman should feel very special and very honored and very respectful role to fulfill her role. Same thing with the husband. He is the leader, and he should treat that as this is a gift from God, that I have a wife, and I should honor that, and I should lead in a way that would be godly. And that's kind of how that relationship works, and that's what it's saying here in the beginning, the idea that godly men need godly women, and godly husbands need godly wives, and that's ultimately is we need help. Guys are saying to the girls, the husbands are saying to the wives, we need your help because in order to lead and be able to do these things, from the beginning, God saw that we needed help. Man needed a companion, and man needed that relationship, and so that he could be glorified, God could be glorified. So ultimately, that's what we are coming down to with regards to that. You know, you see this, you know, a lot of times when you get married, it's about other things. It's about friendship. It's about this. We get along great. Everything's wonderful. We get engaged. It's all hunky-dory. Everything's wonderful. And then you have the physical relationship that's pretty much there, which we'll talk about that later in just a few minutes. The idea that there's that physical attraction and there's that longing, and you get married and everything's awesome. You go on that honeymoon. Everything's great. You think that you're in love, and then you find out a few years later, like, wow, yeah, I'm in love, but this is quite a bit different. All of a sudden, she does things differently than you do. All of a sudden, she makes the bed quite a bit differently than, well, maybe you don't even make the bed. And, you know, so my point is there are things that we find out about each other that we have to then modify and strive for a love that is beyond what we initially had necessarily. It's a growing love. And if you talk with anyone here, I think you would agree that it's something that grows. It's something that you work towards. It's something that continues to get stronger and stronger when you put on a godly love versus, you know, a very elementary or very beginning part of love. And so a lot of that with regards to that is the idea that there's other things, other factors that's driving us to one another, especially in this day and time with regards to that. But you see this at its height, and then you all have seen this as well, when you see how strong companionship is and how strong a love is, and all of a sudden it's way beyond the physical. Physical all of a sudden becomes nothing. Your physical body is going to deteriorate and go away. And you see this in some older couple relationships. And how many of us seen where an older couple and all of a sudden one of the spouses dies? What happens? A lot of the times, within the next 6 months to a year, the other passes away as well. It's like their heart literally crumbles. It is broken, right? We've seen this. It doesn't happen. No, it doesn't happen all the time, but you have seen this, where we've seen godly people where all of a sudden they're way up in their age. One passes, the other one, that's how strong the companionship was. That's how strong the love was. And I guarantee you, it's not something that's very immature, but very much mature in the Lord. And that's what we've seen. I think that is a great example of what we should be striving for. We don't have to wait until we're 89 years old to get to that point. We can get to that point sooner if we keep that in our minds, that this is the love, this is the companionship that we are striving for, this is what God wants that bond to be like, that's what becoming one flesh is all about. Although, yes, there is a physical component, there's things that He has given to us to enjoy that are good, but nor can we depend on that as the true love that we are to have, because that true love is what's going to keep us bound together for permanence, you know, when it comes to the marriage. And so that companion needs to be built upon. It needs to be built around the Lord and around His Word and all these things and attributes we've been talking about the whole quarter so far. And when you look at those roles, there's nothing more important than the husband loving his wife and the wife submitting to her husband and being a helpmeet for her, like we covered on Sunday. And ultimately, when we look at that relationship as being the ultimate, second only to our relationship with God, our Father, then we need to start looking at these external things that can get in the way. And so that's what he comes over, and this is what I want to spend some time on, is point number four, is, and this applies to the husband as well, okay? But right now, we're going to just talk about the wives. So guys, just give me patience. Don't, you know, let's just talk about the wives for a moment with regards to her role as being the helper, help meet, and being able to support her husband and be able to be that homemaker that is laid out before her. So there are things that can get in the way with both of us. And like I said, the big thing is there are things that can distract us from fulfilling our roles. Now, before I go over some of these, okay, I want you to hear this clearly first. If you don't hear this clearly first, then you're able to get upset. Okay, so just listen very carefully. None of these things that I'm fixing to go over and talk about, they're not necessarily wrong. It's not like, you know, joining a bowling league and being in a bowling league two or three nights a week is necessarily, bowling is not sinful, and of course, unless you hate bowling. I love bowling, by the way. I was a bowler, so just to share something about me. I actually was a bowler. So anyway, that was my sport. People make fun of me, but the bottom line is I like bowling. So my point is bowling within itself was not a sin, okay? But can bowling get in a way with my relationship? Can it get into a stumbling block for my relationship? Everybody say yes. Okay. That's one that's easy for us to get, right? So what we're going to do is kind of just go through. There are some challenges today, wives. Yeah? There are a lot of challenges today. And that's all that we're going to go over. We're going to call them challenges. There are things that you can't avoid. There are things that you and your partner, and we're not going to go all the way down to the details about finances and what you have to do for your family and y'all's unique situation. And y'all with me? I mean, we're not going down those roads, but I'm just going to talk with you in general about things that can be a stumbling. It can be a challenge. It can put a wear on your relationship, okay? So some of these things, like I said, they can actually be pretty good. But some of the things that he mentioned out here, going out shopping and doing these things, going to garage sales. I know some people that they joined a tennis league. I gave that bowling example. But anything that can occupy your time that takes away, that's the key, takes away from your relationship and your ability to help and to submit to your husband and to take care. And we're not talking about the children yet. Because your first number one goal of a husband is to love his wife, not to love his children first. But he's in the relationship with his wife. Same thing with the wife. Her first relationship is with her husband. Like I said, all of this is aside from their relationship with God. But you understand what I'm just kind of moving on. But not your children. So children can even be a hindrance to serving and submitting and loving your spouse. Things, enjoying people, maybe even enjoying relationships in the church where you're having women's night out all the time. Women's night out are great. I didn't think it was great when I first got married, by the way. So that's kind of a little joke. Kara had talked about her mom going away with her sisters for the weekend. I'm like, why would she do that? Why would she leave her husband to go out? And then after a couple of years of marriage, I'm like, okay, yeah, you can. I wasn't very wise. I had no idea, but I was very strict. I'm like, why would you want to? They're married. Why would you leave, you know? But that's just a silly example. But my point is can too many times getting together to where all of a sudden your role and your commitment is makes it very difficult. And do you know that it's stretching and making it very difficult? Probably the biggest elephant in the room, and I'm just going to go ahead and talk about that, is the idea that sometimes it becomes necessary. Let me just start off with that. Remember I said none of this stuff is saying that it within itself is a sin. Some couples have found it necessary over the last 80 years, 70 years, 60 years, where a woman's had to get a job and work outside the home. Like I said, that may be something that has to happen, right? But here's the question is, does it put a strain? Is it difficult? So let me put it this way, because I know this is touchy. Like I said, I'm just saying, but here's the deal. Is it something that we purposely think about? You know, so if someone asks, like, if there was someone here that was at home but then had to go to work. And like I said, there's situations where something like that might have to happen. Does that make sense? So I'm not, I just want to talk to you about it. So those that were homemakers that stayed at home and worked at home but then had to get a job, was it easier or harder or was it the same to try to maintain that relationship and have a handle on the home? So that's actually a question. But y'all understand what I'm asking? Has anyone been in that situation that can affirm? Yes. Yes. Okay. Now, anyone else agree? Just raise your hand if you agree with that in general. Okay, so here's the deal. That's just what I call that. That means it's a challenge, right? It's something that you have to figure out and overcome. It's just like other situations. And this, I just want to bring it up from the standpoint that it is something that's very personable, and I admit that. We're in a situation, I'm just be honest with you. Not that I'm not honest with you other times. I used to have a boss that used to say that to me all the time. I used to say, "Can I be honest with you?" And he goes, "Does that mean you're not honest with me other times?" I'm like, "I don't know, that's not what it means." But you know, I went on disability 9 years ago, and now I'm on Medicare, and I cannot work anymore, and nor can I provide my family health care. And I'll just be honest with you, it has been a huge struggle at times. Anything that happens to our family, it's $7,500 deductible here and there. It's because Kara doesn't work. Y'all with me? I get it. And actually, it's a conversation that we have. I'm just admitting that to you all. It's something I have always said. I've told you all my background. I grew up with the idea, the way my dad raised me is my wife will stay at home and take care of my family. If I have to work two or three jobs, I used to say that. If I had to work two or three jobs, I would do it. That's the way I was raised. How many of y'all heard that before, or at least was raised that way? Yes? Okay. That has changed. Now, unfortunately, to not get too emotional, I can't do that no more, right? So it is a tough thing for me and my family. So I get it is what I'm trying to say. A husband, yes, go ahead, go ahead. Yeah. No, there's going to be a lot of sensitivity to this. And I knew this when we were going to talk about it. But it was something to me that is important. And I did have an older gentleman come up to me a few weeks ago, a very wise gentleman, and kind of mentioned this idea too. So I believe it's worth just laying out there and talking about it. Because it's something that it is a struggle. And there is a reality to it. Let me give you some statistics. So since the 1960s to the present, the difference between two incomes back in the 60s, early 70s, you were talking about maybe $5,000 to $10,000 a year difference. So for example, the husband would maybe make 30 to 35, maybe 40 if they were doing well. We're talking about 60s and 70s. Back then that would have been really good. And then the wives, and this goes back to, we're not going to get into a political discussion, but the wives would only contribute like $5,000 or $10,000 a year. Does that make sense? So the wife working outside the home at that period of time, it was very little benefit. You know, maybe the total income was $40,000 to $50,000 a year. Does that make sense? Versus today. Today, a single income, this is on average, everyone's different, on average is around $50,000 to $55,000 a year. Single income, husband, completely on average. Some of them might be only $30,000 or $25,000. Some of them might be $75,000 or $80,000, right? So on average, the two income family on average is $90,000 to $100,000. So I think to your point, and I think it's valid, and this goes back to what my dad told me in my ear when I was younger, and I didn't listen to him, by the way. But the idea is that we've had a generation or two in which when we got into our 20s, we wanted everything our parents had. This is the way my dad put it to me. I have a lot of respect for my dad. He's a pretty wise man, and he's given me a lot of stuff that if I could just understand half of what he's saying. But he told me a long time ago, the problem is these young people want to live like their parents right out of the gate. Does that make sense? Where that was not necessarily the case back in the 1940s and 1950s. Okay? That wasn't necessarily what was a huge, people had to work much longer. Getting credit was much harder. It was not something, you understand what I'm saying? So in other words, what we've done with our generation, mine, a little bit older than me, because my brothers and sisters ran into the same thing, and even the younger generation. Now that you have credit, you can borrow money, you can do this, all of a sudden you can have this great TV, great couch, right out of the gate. So debt and trying to live a lifestyle is definitely something that's plaguing us. It's definitely a struggle. And I'm saying that from the bottom of my heart, that I'm included in that, okay? So I am not exempt from what I'm saying. But living beyond our means is a challenge. This is not always the case, I'm just giving one thing. It's a challenge. Once we get committed to having this, having two cars, having that, I grew up, there was a period we only had one car. Well, we only needed one car, you know? So things a lot has changed. The other thing is from the 1960s to 2010, dual income, believe it or not, dual income was 47%, according to the statistic, in 1960. That was a little high to me. But like I said, I believe there was a lot of part-time work. Working, like my mom worked at the cafeteria for just a very short period of time at my elementary school. Part-time work. Does that make sense? So I think a lot of it was part-time work. And those numbers about the salary kind of speak to that. It was kind of part-time work. And now that income is dual income families is 66% of all families are dual income. So it definitely is something that is reality. And you're right, I think our society, the way we've grown and our economy, things cost more. There's lots of costs that we deal with that we basically launch onto the game and we hang on for our dear lives. Yeah, does that make sense? That's kind of what it is. There was another statistic which is kind of weird to me because I'm a statistics person, just so you know. So when I see statistics that don't agree with each other, it just makes me question everything. But it said that that husbands only working is all the way down to 21% currently. Like I said, that doesn't match with the other statistic that I just gave you. But the deal is we're talking about very, very few families that are in single income. And I think the only reason why I bring it up is just the idea of, hey, when I talk about the men, by the way, women, let me go ahead and give you a snapshot, okay? If a man works 8 hours a day versus working 12 and 15 hours a day, okay, is it going to be easier or harder for him to lead that family? Yes or no? Harder or easier? Harder. So men, you don't escape this idea that I want to talk about, is anything, even your job, can, if it takes away from you leading your family, then that is something to be watchful for. And some families, the husband can be home at 5:15 every day, or they can be like, there's several of us in here that getting home at 7 o'clock at night was normal, and even then you were working until wee hours of the night, working and getting at work at 6:30 in the morning. And I'm not saying that to, this is absolutely not bragging, but the fact of the matter is there's some jobs that are very trying and not healthy for the family. Not healthy. That's why I actually can kind of look at my disability, to be honest with you, as a blessing in a sense, because let me tell you, it was not what it was cracked up to be. What I was sold was a lie, that where I was going in life was where I was supposed to be. But that was not necessarily true. It was not. So wives, when I say this, I'm saying this in a dear, tender heart, that all I'm saying is be aware that it's a struggle, right? And be aware, and if there's situations and things that you can put yourself in to where that can be overcome, that's the only reason why I want to bring up the point, because I believe it is a challenge today. Just like the husband's going to have lots of challenges when I talk about him next week. Extracurricular activities, going hunting, doing this, going golfing. I've seen marriages ruined because the man will not go home to his wife and his family. Okay? So guys, you're coming. I'm going to be giving you an earful as well. But both, we live in a challenging society. That's the point of all this. All right, any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
So this is coming from a guy who's been single for his entire life. But if I look at Proverbs 31, I see a woman there who's lifted highly as both a very industrious woman and a family woman. So it's a balance that the family has to take with wise choices on what are their goals, not buying into the materialistic world specifically, but making wise choices. How can, if it's necessary for the wife to work, or if she wants to work, can she do it in a way that still gives the proper due to her husband and her family? How they balance that together is just a very important discussion that has to happen over the years of the marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yep, very good point. And that's spot on. It's kind of what I'm trying to say in a general sense, is that none of this is saying it's wrong. It's just, hey, be aware that it is a tricky thing to go through, and something that hasn't always been part of society. I think that's the main thing, is when you read these passages, it hasn't always been part of society for the women to work like they work today. Yes, they worked in the field. Yes, they sold goods. They went to the marketplaces, kind of like with the proverb. But we live in a pretty demanding society, and it can be very demanding on the woman with regards to the workplace. Yes, Tom?
Yeah, I'd like to say something in reference to, like you're talking about, when you're talking about guys, you know, being involved in the golf and setting up home with the family. Well, I know this individual, this good foster man, that he's done well in business. But he shared the story with me that when he would go with his wife, first off, after dinner, he would always have his cell phone. And he could not stay off the phone on that, giving his wife that attention. So me and Melissa, we always go out. I don't even care about the cell phone because I want to have that time me and her. So I think, you know, that's very important too, that we have to make good choices as far as, you know, things like that, because that can be a problem. You know, and unfortunately, he and his wife, you know, divorced. They were married for many years. But,
let me finalize with this before we move on, because we're going to move on. Ultimately, what I'm saying is you could have a married couple where both of them are working, and they both are honoring each other, and they're both doing everything to the Lord, and the money they're bringing in is to support their family. Everything is awesome. And then you can have another family that the wife is at home, okay, not working out of the home, but their relationship could be in crumbles. Yeah? And so in the end of all of this, ultimately, it's how you set aside purposefully and how you fulfill these roles and honor each other ultimately and how you manage through it. You know, being married to me, let me tell you, being married to me is a huge challenge for my wife versus most any of you all. Some of you all get it, right? But to deal with a disabled person. So in other words, you all understand what I'm saying. All these are things that's going to challenge you. Of course, some of you all have mental issues and that wife has to overcome. That's a joke. It was a joke, okay? I used to tell people when I tell people about my disability, I usually wait for my wife to be around, is, I'm physically going down. It's no big deal. My arms don't do whatever. But at least I still have my mind. Just don't ask my wife. That's what I usually say to people. But the bottom line is we all go through different challenges. And all I'm trying to bring out is these challenges mean that you have to modify and be able to flex with each other, your partner and your companion for the rest of your life, whatever that may be. Okay? That's kind of the bottom line point, whether both have to work, maybe both have to work for different reasons. At the end of the day, as long as you all come together and solidify y'all's relationship and find that time for each other, because it can even have, even if, so in other words, just because you don't work and you're staying at home doesn't mean it's an automatic A+ that you're the best spouse in the world. There could still be challenges in the home. And so that's the point there as far as conclusion. Okay. Men need affection. So going from one deep subject to another, okay, you all ready for this? So men need mental needs, believe it or not. But by the way, guys are terrible. I'll pause for a while on this. Guys are terrible at expressing our needs, especially emotionally. Now, there can be exceptions. I mean, some of you all might be sitting there going, I don't have a problem with that. Well, I'm just saying in general. From what I've seen and all the guy friends, we have a hard time expressing our mental needs and our emotions. First of all, some of y'all may be sitting there going, well, I didn't know men had, you know, those kind of needs. But we do. And it goes back to what I say is we need your help mentally. We need your help to lead. I think a lot of the times men have a hard time leading because they don't feel confident in their home. They don't feel like that they're they don't feel like that they're really the person that's doing a great job. Now, they're not going to come home and say, hey, here's what I need. I need you to pat me on the back. When I don't fix the toilet, I need you to still support me. And we have to spend $120 on someone afterwards, right? I mean, so in other words, there are things that can come our way that can really, really debilitate us as leaders. And it may not seem that way because we're going to walk away all confident and macho, as the Brother Hartwalker, he uses these old terms, macho kind of guy or whatever. But the bottom line is wives, we need you. We need your help. We need your help in comforting us, encouraging us to be the leader, saying that it's okay when we fail, when we don't fix that item that you've been waiting for all year, just keep being patient with us. We'll get it fixed one day, hopefully. And so we have emotional needs. With that affection and emotional needs, we do have physical needs. And both parties, husband and wife, have physical needs that is critical to a marriage. And in fact, throughout scriptures, it has been very consistent with this idea that the physical relationship is one of ultimate intimacy and ultimate oneness that's being expressed. And like I said, man has needs and so does the woman. Both of them have needs, and it's something that's very critical to the relationship with regards to that. And it's one, just like everything else, when you start looking at all the things in which each spouse needs to be fulfilled or to help each other out, neither of these, any of these that we're going over, including these physical needs, they all fit nicely together with regards to this total idea, that this oneness that we're striving after. Proverbs 15, go ahead and turn to there. Proverbs 15, actually Proverbs 5, verse 15, sorry. Proverbs 5. And I would, and that's the last bill. Is that the last bill? I think so. So we'll probably take the time and go over this. Please, well, how about you all please read this and read 1 Corinthians 7 there that's in your book before Sunday morning. We will talk about it as we launch and try to finish up talking about the women's role before we go into the man's role with regards to his husbandship. So let's go ahead and do that, because I really don't want to shorten our time. We got time to carry this on, and we got time in further lessons to make up time. Does that make sense? So we'll do that. Thanks for your patience tonight in going through some of these sometimes difficult or sensitive subjects. I appreciate your attentiveness.